Tango Tango Papa 1959, March 31st, 2016.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles are with you coming to you this evening from, I guess I'm near Benton, Arkansas. So I had been in the Dallas area, picked a load up at Arlington, which is one of the suburbs there. Turned out to be an interesting load. Or picked up in an interesting place anyway. That I delivered that yesterday afternoon in Memphis, yesterday being Wednesday. And then today I picked a load up at this afternoon at West Memphis. And that load goes to Cleburne, Texas. It delivers there tomorrow. Tomorrow being Friday evening. I got to be there by 7 p.m. And Cleburne is a little bit outside the Dallas-Fort Worth area somewhat. It's sort of south of, if you look at the map, it's Cleburne is sort of south of Fort Worth. But it's still sort of in the area, in the major area. So, anyway, it was kind of the load that I picked up Arlington. I'm soon to be 61. April 3rd. I got a good excuse. Arlington. The load that I picked up there turned out the name of the place was Blue Apron. Now, if you've been listening to podcasts or watching different ads in different places, you've seen the Blue Apron ads or you've heard podcasters talk about Blue Apron. So the idea with Blue Apron is that, and I had no idea where they were located, but anyway, the idea with Blue Apron is that you go to blueapron.com and you order these quote-unquote gourmet meals, but they're gourmet meal kits. And so you order, and these things are like $10 per serving. So you order these meal kits, quote unquote, and they send you the stuff. It's cooled and it's supposedly very fresh, and you get just the ingredients, you know, vegetables and what have you. You get just the ingredients along with that you need to make one of these gourmet meals, along with instructions on how to put it together. And then you have a gourmet meal, and they've sent you the ingredients, and you get exactly what you ordered. And you get the fun of sort of cooking gourmet meals. And apparently this is big business. So, because there's not only Blue Apron, but there's some other competitors. I think one of the other competitors is called Hello Fresh. So anyway, I picked the load up at, it was like 3:30 in the morning. That would have been, Tuesday morning, I believe. Yeah, I think it was Tuesday morning. 3:30 a.m., picked that load up, and they loaded it very quickly. By the way, when I got there about 3 o'clock in the morning, and the shift was getting off, and so there were all these people leaving the building, walking across the street to the parking lot, and there were a lot of people. I didn't count them, but there were a lot. They didn't all come out at once either. And many of them were wearing blue coats. So I'm assuming that Blue Apron gives, if you go to work for Blue Apron as an employee in their plant, you end up with a Blue Apron coat. So, that's one of the perks, I suppose, of working for Blue Apron. But anyway, they loaded it, and I had to get that load to Memphis as quickly as possible, because and I took it to a FedEx ground facility. Not a, you know, because I was assuming that FedEx, well, it might, they're probably going to be putting it on an airplane, a FedEx airplane, but of course FedEx is located in Memphis, but it was FedEx ground is where I took it to. And I don't know, I didn't talk to anyone, so I don't know how they distributed, or if FedEx ground loads it up in a FedEx truck and probably takes it to an airplane, because I can't imagine FedEx ground trucks hauling those things around. So probably gets put onto another trailer and then taken to a FedEx, you know, one of the places where they can load it onto an airplane. It's probably what happens. So anyway, because it's in the trailer, it was 37 degrees continuous run. And I think from what I can tell on the Blue Apron website, if you go through their sales material, the sales copy, they send it in, probably packaged in dry ice to keep the stuff cold. So, and from what I've read, the reviews, it's kind of funny. The reviews, these people are mostly raving about what a great service it is and how good the stuff is, and they don't have to make a trip to the supermarket, as if that's some horrible traumatic thing to have to go to a supermarket. You know, heaven forbid. So, but I thought that was interesting. That was an interesting place to pick a load up at. And and I don't really care if it goes to, you know, how it goes or where it goes. Whether it ends up being delivered to FedEx or a supermarket grocery chain. So, but they're kind of paying in that $10 price per meal there, which I guess you could say that's not so outrageous, but on the other hand, in that price, they're paying for sort of expedited premium trucking service to get it from Arlington to Memphis. Now, why they wouldn't, I'm sure, you know, the Dallas area's got some big FedEx terminals. Why they wouldn't just send it directly to FedEx, I don't know. Now, there was a FedEx trailer backed into the door at Blue Apron, so they're dealing with FedEx directly, but who knows why they do what they do. So but kind of interesting. So that was at least I knew what Blue Apron was. I had heard of it, so as soon as I saw the load information, I knew exactly what it was. So anyway, I've got a couple of voice files, one from Joel and another one, and one from Jeremy that I'm going to be playing and probably responding to. And one thing I wanted to say about, I came across an article, and the guy was talking about mobile devices. Specifically, he was talking about iPads, and he was saying that they were having to add. Apple was, with this new, you know, the iPad Pro, Apple was adding functionality back in. And so whoever wrote this article, it was basically saying that when the iPad was introduced, people kind of went crazy over it. And, you know, of course, it sold millions. Immediately, it sold it sold into the millions. So it was a very popular, you know, like 20 million in the first year, I think. And then it's kind of fallen since then. The sales have fallen and fallen and fallen. And Apple is now adding features back in to try to shore up the sales. And so I think that I don't know. I've talked about this before. I sort of went through a curve with mobile devices, with iPads in particular, where you get this device and it's light and it's portable and it seems to, it's quick and it's always on, and for certain tasks it's very fast. And then naturally I tried to start doing productive things with it, and it very quickly I realized that the thing came up short, because it's great for a tablet, is great for consuming media, for example, but not so great when it comes to tasks like I'm doing right now. I'm recording a podcast. I am, you know, sometimes I write articles, that type of thing. A regular computer, you have to have a regular computer in order to do those things efficiently. And trying to do it on a tablet with tablet operating systems, just, it can be done, but it's a very painful, time-consuming process with a lot of hoops to jump through. So they're adding features back in. So I think what's happened with the tablets, people like, you know, I like the lighter form factor, certainly, but I found that I needed a real computer. I want a real computer packed in the tablet. I like the lighter form factor. I like the capacitive touchscreen. But I want a real computer packed into a powerful computer packed into the package. And so something like the Surface Pro 3 that I'm recording this on right now fills that bill very well. But, you know, with my iPad that I have and the Samsung tablet that I have, those are pretty much media consumption devices, or just casual, you know, kind of look things up. I use that Samsung tablet a lot to play back Audible files, podcast files. I have it attached to a Bluetooth speaker. I use it a lot to, Google Maps, looking things up, that type of thing, looking up addresses, works great for that. Finding out where truck stops are, information about truck stops, that type of thing, it works great for that. But as far as, am I creating anything with it? No. Am I doing anything productive with it? No, other than just looking things up and using it for GPS things and playing back Audible audiobooks and podcasts, and it works as, and music works great for that. But in the iPad that I have, the iPad Air, mostly I watch videos on it and sometimes do some light web browsing, and that's about it. So they're adding features back in with this iPad Pro now. So you got the keyboard that you can attach, but unfortunately you're still stuck with iOS as the operating system, which is fine for apps like banking apps and things like that. That's fine, but you need a real operating system. You need a desktop operating system that can run desktop class software, and then you can do real productive things, but you can't do that on iOS. I'm sorry. And there's no mouse and there's no trackpad on the iPad Pro. So they're going to have to add more functionality back in ultimately, I think. So, but still very pleased with this Surface Pro 3. So anyhow, I'm going to go ahead and start playing these files. So I think... start first with Joel. So here is Joel.
Hey, Tom. Joel McLaughlin here again. Just wanted to send you another message just about through listening to your latest. Got to thinking about some things here. Namely, a couple things have been in the news, been shared around on Facebook and whatnot. One of the things that kind of comes to concern here is Emory University and students feeling quote-unquote traumatized by seeing Trump 2016 wrote somewhere on campus. And the college is paying for counselors. And I'm like, okay, there's several things wrong with this. First off, these kids that are in some of these colleges apparently thinks the world's going to bend to their wishes and do whatever they want because that's what mama and daddy did for them. And that's not how how children should be raised, because the truth of the matter is the world is not going to bend to your will. The world is not about you, is what these kids needed to learn. Unfortunately, the university is continuing to perpetuate this mess. I go back to a few months ago, and I wish I could find it, but there was a president of a university happened to be, and kind of what surprises me is that this actually had to come from a Christian university, believe it or not. But in any event, the president basically said words to that effect, that the world isn't going to be changed for you, but that you need to learn that it's not all about you. You're going to have bad things happen in your life, and there's nothing that you can do to prevent it. All right. So, it sickens me that it's come to that. And the other thing that really bothers me is when people, especially the far right, I don't know if it's fair or not, but they'll basically claim all millennials are lazy and just want everything done for them, which is, I hate it when people say all or try to do a mass generalization and say that the only thing that millennials care about is blah or blah, blah, whatever it is, be it the iPhone or whatever stupid thing that happens. But so there's that, and that just kind of points to what we already know, that the world is dying, the world as we know it. And, when you talk about scriptures, we could possibly be living in the end times. So just because of the many events that I'm seeing happening. So I don't know. I don't have the answer because, the Bible does say that no one knows the time of the day. of Armageddon, but so there's that. Plus then there's this other article, Ohio and many other states apparently unfairly tax women because there's a tax on tampons and maxi pads. I'm thinking, yeah, there's taxes on lots of things I need. There's taxes on my car, there's taxes on my house, there's taxes on some food. Most food is taxed, doesn't have a tax on it. But the truth of the matter is, and they're saying that they want equality. And I am like, well, the truth of the matter is, if they really were talking about equality, they wouldn't be talking about eliminating this tax, but eliminating all unfair taxes. Which, believe it or not, there actually are a lot of those. in this country. Income tax is unfair. I don't think it's fair that you and I work hard for our money, pay taxes, and then people who have kid after kid after kid get disowned income tax credit. All right. Does that mean I'm heartless against children? No, it doesn't. Does that mean I think that they shouldn't get the earned income credit? Yes, I actually do think they shouldn't get it, because the truth is that they chose to have that many children. It's not, the government shouldn't be supplementing their bad decisions. So, And then you talk about everyone will talk about the Republicans are against giving things to the poor and stuff like that. And that's actually not really true either, because I give to the church. I give to various charities all over the place. And the best thing about that is I freely give it. I don't expect anything in return. And I'm not forced to do it. Welfare, having welfare be a tax, supported by taxpayer money and other things that help people. The thing is here is that we're forced to do this, whether we want to or not. We're forced to supplement health insurance for those who can't pay for it on their own. We're forced to pay into different funds that we may never use. And you know, that's where the left completely misses what the conservatives are talking about with regards to helping the poor. What a lot of liberals don't really see is what the conservatives do to help the poor. I have had, now granted, I will say this, I'm not a huge fan of the megachurch. However, and a megachurch can be done right, the megachurch can be done wrong, right? Megachurches that are done right, if they have the ability to grow their church to the point that they are a mega church, as long as they can have some significant programs to help people, and many of the mega churches do, I have no problem with the mega church. I have no problem with them not paying taxes because they're doing it out of the goodness of their own hearts. In my church, we're not a big rich church. We struggle to pay our bills, but you know what we all always do? We still help people. And that's what it's all about. And we freely do it. We're not forced by law to do it. And that's, it's not that I don't think that there should be free college. I think there should, but I think it should be paid for by charities. I have different churches pay for education, have other things that would help students get the money they need for tuition. And for God's sakes, they should stop. It sounds like I'm crazy, but they should stop federally backed student loans. Because the whole reason why you need a student loan, or the whole reason why you need financial aid in most cases with college, is because the colleges basically will go ahead and raise their rates because they know that the students will have the money because the federal government's going to give it to them and allow them to loan it. And then you got students who graduate with degrees that in some cases can't be used to earn significant money. Like if you have a degree in, say women's studies or something crazy like that. You're going to, if you get a job, you're probably not going to get a job that pays enough to pay your student loan, your significant student loans off in some cases. Doctors, we complain about healthcare and how come healthcare is so expensive. Well, doctors will typically graduate with 7-digit debt once they actually get to the point where they can actually practice medicine. So, if we want to fix things like healthcare, we need to manage the costs at the source. And we need to reduce the amount of federal government spending in education loans. Education loans, not education, but education loans. And other things that basically give the colleges the ability to just continue to jack up the tuition and to charge ridiculous prices for books. You can go take a course in accounting or some other thing, and you could pay $400 for a book that you might end up using twice in the whole course. And then the book from last term can't be used because they basically updated to the new edition, and the new edition basically has two pages new, and the old edition would have been just fine, but because page numbers and everything wouldn't line up, and it's just, it's a pain. You can't have used textbooks don't really exist much anymore. You can buy them, but generally, you know, with the amount that books changes, you know, I remember a time when I worked for the college I used to work for, where colleges would keep the same book for an entire year and only change the book once a year. Now it changes every term. And then we wonder why college is so expensive. We wonder why healthcare is so expensive. And you have the education system, essentially all federal back, whether you're a private school or you're a public school, it's all federally back. Because the federal government backs student loans, and student loans happens to be one of the few loans that you cannot discharge in a bankruptcy. So you have to pay them, whether you can afford it or not. You can't discharge them in a bankruptcy like you can a car loan or a house loan or anything like that. So you're stuck. You know, the education, you know, institutions, you know, that's the biggest problem, you know. So it's just, you know, so many things that can be cured by just looking at the root causes of things and looking at and trying to, you know, to do things in a fair manner. I had one economics professor that said the only fair tax is the sales tax, because the more you spend, the more you make, the more you spend, the more you spend, the more you pay, and there's not as many loopholes. Okay, so you know that's really the only fair tax there is. So, and I'm rambling, but those are just some of my thoughts. I'd like to hear your rebuttals on some of those. I know you're going to agree with me on a lot of things. And I know I don't necessarily agree with you on everything, but that's why I send you messages, because I want to hear what your thoughts are. And I do appreciate you recording podcasts whenever somebody submits feedback. Take care, Tom. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Joel. So of all those different topics, I don't have a lot to say, except talk about the first one a little bit, the college students that were supposedly quote-unquote traumatized by someone had, I don't know, somebody had written Trump 2016 on a window or maybe a sidewalk or something, is the impression that I got. And they were supposedly traumatized by it. It's really, the parents are responsible for that. The parents have done that by not fulfilling their parental duties, their parental responsibilities. They have enabled that to happen. And it happened primarily, I think, by these, quote, you know, these kids being misraised, malraised. And of course, the school system takes over where the parents fail. And that has put those it's put them in such a position that they're super suggestible, they're super spoiled, they're used to getting their way with everything, but at the same time, they're super suggestible, and then the most absurd ideas take over as a form of groupthink in their groups. And so they believe that you know, they talk about microaggression and all of that hogwash, and they have to have their safe spaces, and it's ridiculous. It's absolutely absurd, ridiculous, and I think that reality, sooner or later, reality always has a nasty habit of catching up with you. You can be protected from it. You can figure out ways of protecting yourself from it. You can have other people that sort of enable you. You have enablers that protect you from reality. But sooner or later, it just reality has this nasty habit of catching up with you. And that's going to happen to these people at some point. But it's ridiculous. I can't really get worked up about it. What do you do? These people are idiots. They've been enabled. And sooner or later, reality will, rest assured, reality is going to catch up with them. And it's the result isn't going to be pretty. So, you know, it's just, but it's just a symptom, really, of what our society, large portions of our society, has devolved into. And, yeah, I don't know. It's crazy. It's absurd. It's excessive. And the money is being wasted. You were talking about the college tuitions. That's part of it. Government will give you loans all day long, but then you can't, they made them so that you can't file bankruptcy and bank, you can't bankrupt the college loans. Those will follow you forever. Well, there's a reason that it's set up that way. And that's because once you owe a lot of money to the government, and if you can't pay it back, that's always kind of hanging over your head, sort of like a sword of Damocles. And so how can you, if you owe the government a bunch of money, at some point, you're going to be very hesitant to try to speak against the government or go against the government's, whatever it is the government wants, to go against their wishes, because you owe them money. And then maybe there's a chance at some point that a politician can come in and all he has to do is promise that all the student loans will be forgiven. And but a lot of these student loans are going for educations that are worthless, because there are millions and millions of college graduates now that can't get work. Somehow they can't find jobs. And they move back in with mommy and daddy, and they live in the basement, and they become basement trolls, as I like to call them. And not all of them, but there's millions of them. They've been miseducated, and they're not educated for work in the real world. There are jobs out there, you know. Even you can complain that there are no jobs or whatever. There are jobs. But these people don't want to do them because that would be somehow beneath them. You know, the types of jobs that are available. And if there were no jobs, then why are all the illegal aliens finding work? How is it? How comes they can find work? And so many of these college-educated people can't. That doesn't compute. So there are jobs here, or otherwise we wouldn't have illegal aliens rushing in to fill the void. So these people, reality, just rest assured in the knowledge that reality always catches up. You don't get away with things. Reality catches up sooner or later, and it can be very unpleasant for people that are trying to run away from it, or you know, the more you deny reality, if you're successful in kind of staving it off and denying it, the bigger the problem becomes. And sooner or later, you're going to face it one way or the other. And that's true for these people, these quote-unquote college kids, you know, at Emory or wherever it was. They're perfect idiots. And there are a lot of... people that see them as idiots. They see themselves as enlightened, and they're smarter than everyone else, and that's how they see themselves. But they're delusional. So, but anyway, and you know, blame them, blame their parents, blame. Basically, it's the parents. The parents are ultimately responsible for the upbringing and the education of their kids. And I don't care if the school system or you know what the peer pressure says. The parents are ultimately responsible. So it's I don't know. I think that. Sooner or later, as I say, reality will catch up, whether they want it to or not. It will, and it may not necessarily be in the public eye when it happens. But rest assured, it will happen, and for the people that have successfully kind of. Lived in their dream world, the longer they're able to live in their dream world, the greater the shock that it's going to be to their system. And as I say, it may not be public, but rest assured, it's coming. There justice does exist after all. It's not necessarily always public that it happens. You know, it's kind of like I like to give the example of a person in a bank kind of swiping a pen, you know, thinking that nobody's going to notice and they're going to get a big advantage. They're going to get a free pen. Well, you take something, even if you think no one is watching, your God is watching you. Your conscience is watching you. God is watching you. Whether you want to believe that or not, you're not getting away with it. Whatever it is that you've done, you don't get away with it. You may think you've gotten away with it, but you don't get. In the end, you're not going to get away with it. And there's a, you know, you pay a price immediately when you do something that's wrong. And so there is justice in the world, It's not up to us as human beings to necessarily to administer it, there really is a kind of a perfect justice in the world, and what you have to do is, as I talk about quite a bit, you know, learn not to resent, and when we resent, that's our form of judgment. Learn not to do that, and just allow God to do that. God takes care of the justice part of it. And so, but they'll, their parents have done them a disservice. School system has done them a disservice. This college, the Emory College, has done them a disservice by giving them counseling, which that's ridiculous in and of itself. But the school itself is probably afraid that the students are going to riot or cause them grief or cause them to have to fire the college, whoever that runs the college, chancellor, I don't know, whatever the whoever runs the college. You know, in some cases, they've different colleges. The students have caused the whoever runs it, the president or whoever, to have to resign. And so they're all afraid. They're terrified of these students and what they might say about them. So they're just caving in. So it's all ridiculous. It's all, and the only way it can exist is because it relies on tax money. That and they can do whatever they want. They take the money. They take the money. They take the tax money, and then they just do whatever they want to with it. And it's kind of a dictatorship. So, but sooner or later, it gets resolved. Justice happens, and rest assured, it probably ain't going to be pleasant. So, anyway, I'm going to go ahead and play Jeremy's comment. So, here is Jeremy.
Hey, Tom. It's Jeremy. It's been a while since I checked in with you. I've changed phones. I'm about to change phones again just because I had insurance replacement issues. So, they ended up sending me something that I think was a little bit of a lemon. The screen wouldn't brighten. So I had issues with the replacement, and now I'm getting another replacement. So it's pretty clear to me that they're sending refurbished phones as replacements, but I guess I didn't really expect anything less from AT&T, that is. So I've been listening here and there. I'll admit I have not been able to listen to every episode recently, but I've listened to probably the last two or three. So I think from the one where you described going to a Trump rally and then onward. So I get the impression, at least that you're a Donald Trump supporter. I think that that's what's going on. And I have a lot of family members and friends who are also Trump supporters. So I think he's got a really sort of good groundswell of people going along with him. So, and a lot of them, frankly, very good people themselves. But I wouldn't put Trump in that camp. And I think for me, it's kind of becoming obvious what's going on. And I don't think that it's a bad thing necessarily. I think it's almost like, I would equate it almost to like, you know, there's my father-in-law is one of the people that's a pretty staunch Trump supporter at the moment. But I asked him the other day, I said, you know, there's the left and then there's the right. And then to me, it seems like Donald Trump is kind of the alternative, you know, so he's the alternative candidate for both sides, which is a good thing because it brings some Democrats who are more conservative leaning or just tired of the same old thing into the Republican ranks, I guess we could call it that. Even though I wouldn't call it the conservative ranks, but let's just say, you know, for the sake of conversation, the party ranks, that Donald Trump brings those people across the aisle, so to speak. But I think what Donald Trump is he's kind of the plunger connected to the dynamite in the middle. So I think people are sort of, in him, they visualize this reset button almost, where they want to see what happens if somebody just comes in and is so disruptive and so non-traditional, so untethered to any kind of interest group. So if you say like, hey, Donald Trump is not beholden to anybody, you know, he doesn't, you know, he's not paid for or bought by anybody in Washington. That might be true, and I can buy that to some extent. I don't think that he is showing much class and much decorum. And I, you know, I'm not one of those people that I don't buy into the whole, like, you know, oh, we should elect people who are better than us and, you know, the best of the best, whatever. Like, I don't subscribe to that. I think that citizen politicians are what we need more of, frankly. So on that, you know, Donald Trump actually scores points with me, but I also don't pretend that he is somehow this outsider maverick person who is not used to paying people off or being bought by people. It's just that his ties are more to the corporate world. So he might be less tethered to the Washington establishment, but I don't know that it's any better to be sort of beholden to the corporate establishment. So if you think of the way that, you know, if money talks and money buys influence, I don't think that Donald is immune to that. I think that's sort of how he's used to making his money, frankly. And he has leveraged the government a couple of times to get him favors. And I think that, you know, just in general, if you say somebody uses tax breaks or incentives or grants to get ahead, that's fine. I think that those things exist for, they're supposed to exist for people who actually need it, but, you know, the rules don't prevent him from doing that. So again, that's another thing that people say, oh, he's gaming the system. Well, the system is there, you know? So yes, if you're going to get ahead, you're going to take advantage of that system most likely. And some would just call that leveraging, leveraging the system in their favor. And that's just a smart thing to do as far as like business. It's business savvy is what it amounts to. So again, that's something that I also would not hold against him in an election. I think kind of where it hits me is his really like, almost like he's so eager to jump on a controversy and to not just sit back and shut up for a minute. He's so quick to respond to any sort of attack without sourcing where the attack came from, making a lot of assumptions and sort of knee-jerk reactions towards opponents or women. I think it's the way he talks about and discusses women probably bothering me the most, at least lately. And, you know, you say all the time that, you know, you're not a parent and all that stuff. So you might have a different outlook on that, but I don't think that discounts your opinion on that matter. Of course, we all are raised, I think, to respect women and to treat them, with the same respect that we would give anybody else. And I think that that's something that I think Donald is kind of missing. So I'm curious where it comes from. If he's just, you know, if it's just, hey, he's just an angry, he just is a defensive guy. And so he's going to, you know, he's going to take every opportunity to defend himself. He's not going to let the smear tactics work on him. Sort of, he's going to be like the non-traditional, hey, you stab me, I stab back twice, you know, that kind of thing. But I think it's misdirected in a lot of ways. You know, he uses it as a misdirection technique so that he doesn't have to answer questions about real issues. And so if you come at him, you'll say, hey, why are you against this thing? Or why are you, know, what do you feel about, what will you do about ISIS? Like, you know, give me some actual details of a plan. And then he'll start talking about how, you know, little Marco doesn't know what he's doing either, you know? And so let's talk about, you know, or look at Carly. She's so ugly. Then how could you ever want somebody like that fighting ISIS? I mean, could you believe it? You know, they're never going to respect her. Like, and I think recently the whole, I was already kind of, you know, on the fence. I did vote for Cruz in the primary, so my primary is over here in Virginia. But now I have to think about what I'll do if Donald Trump is the nominee. And since I'm not really beholden to any party, I think what's kind of pushed me off of Trump for good now is just, you know, being married and having two daughters. They hear a lot of what is going on in the news and just, you know, general playground talk at school. And, you know, it's interesting to hear how they think about what Trump says, and what resonates with them is, frankly, his attitude towards women and females in general. And I'm not a feminist, you know, but I have to play one on TV because I am married with a beautiful wife and two beautiful girls. I want them to grow up in a world where the presidency is not above having to treat women with respect. And so while you might say, hey, it's just a momentary lapse here or there, I see it more as a pattern where it's not just about women. It's sort of like he automatically redirects people to other people's looks, you know, what their wives look like, you know, just general like characteristics of, you know, just, oh, look at him over there sweating, or, you know, your face is all red, like, what's wrong with you? That kind of stuff. And it's just like, to me, it's kind of a tactic that he's probably learned over the years that, you know, it's really better to change the subject and to direct people's attention with humor or with anger, whatever you want to call it. The guy is quick to pull out a good punchline. And if it was a rap battle or something like that, you know, it was a burn battle, whatever you want to call it, you know, he would probably win every time. But I think that the issue here is that, and I'm not worried about him being, you know, crass with board leaders and all that. I really do just think about what the president is meant to represent to my kids, you know, growing up, the example that they have to follow. And the president, whoever he is, even Barack Obama, has good things about him and has bad things about him. And I think that that's, you know, that's important to point out, that not, you're never going to have the perfect candidate because people are not perfect. But for me, you know, having this sort of third default option is not really good enough for me at this point, just because I think he's proven himself to be a reactive, crass, not very thoughtful person, even though I know he must have had some of that. I mean, he has to have some of that, because when you get him in the boardroom, you know, he has to make deals. At the end of the day, there's a lot of concessions and there's a lot of compromises that have to be made in business. And he's clearly very business savvy. But I think that that's also very motivated by greed, and it's motivated by, you know, self-service. But, you know, I'm not one of those people that think greed is bad. I think greed is necessary, but I think that if you take it too far and it turns just into this like self-preservation at any cost, or, you know, I have to consistently, you know, try to make my opponents look like they're less than me, as opposed to, you know, taking a second. I've never seen Donald take a second, step back, think about something, and then answer. He's very quick to just jump in, and if he doesn't know what to say, he'll just go right into the insults. And, you know, that's funny on a late night talk show, but I guess, you know, for me, it's sort of worn off. And it was a bit of a novelty at first. And it was interesting to just watch him take down the establishment candidates one by one. And I'm very thankful for that, because without Donald Trump, we wouldn't have Ted Cruz. You know, I really feel like that. But, you know, when it came down to it for me, when I had the choice of those two and Rubio, in the race, for me, the choice is pretty clear at that point, because, you know, I'm a constitutional conservative libertarian. So I have to go with that side of me, as opposed to, hey, I just want to like push the plunger and blow everything up. Even though, you know, there are plenty of days when I wish I could do that too. So, now if Trump is president, do I think that he's going to ruin the country? No, I think that he'll have to tone things down and just kind of temper his, he'll just kind of have to check his temperament at the door, so to speak, anyway, if he wants to get anything done. And I think that that's kind of where the businessman Trump will take over. But I just worry about the message that he's sending to my girls, frankly. And just the whole, you know, battles of the wives and all that stuff. I didn't really care for how that's played out. And so I think that's what's ultimately played to influence my decision. But I fully respect and frankly support people who are choosing Trump because they want to disrupt what's going on. And I think that they see in Trump, and I suspect that you do as well, to a point, because I know for a long time you were completely disengaged with politics, and Trump sort of reinvigorated that side of things for you. But I'm curious what happens, you know, with you, if Trump loses, is that sort of the end of it for you? Because, you know, that didn't happen. Do you think that Ted Cruz is a viable alternative, or do you think that he's, you know, just kind of, just, you know, that he's not a good candidate? So I just wanted to give my two cents. I really like to hear people talking about this, and I like all the insight that you have about you know, your side of the story with Trump. And I just, you know, I feel like you are one of the people that Trump has resonated with, like so many others. And just, you know, maybe if you had any commentary on the jockeying for position among the other candidates that seems to be clearly favoring Trump at this point, where it seems like people who won't get out of the race are at this point, you know, just splitting the vote. And that seems to only help Trump. So I wonder if there's some kind of inside baseball going on there too. But just wondered if you had any thoughts on that. Anyway, really glad I finally got to catch up with you. I am out here listening from time to time. I haven't forgotten about you, and I hope you're driving safely. Take care, Tom.
Thank you, Jeremy. So the thing with Donald Trump, I think, and this is just my opinion, I think if you were to meet Donald Trump or have normal dealings with Donald Trump, from what I've read, you know, with people that have just encountered him in everyday life, he's a pretty nice guy. And the only time that he is going to get nasty is if you attack him. If he's attacked, he's gonna strike back. That's one of the things that a lot of people, at least the people that I've talked to, and myself included, I really like that about him, is that anytime he's attacked, he attacks back. And he doesn't spare any punches or, you know, back in response. And he himself has talked, you know, is that presidential? You know, and he said his wife was telling him, you got to be more presidential. Well, how can you, you know, you can't be presidential and then fight back at the same time. And I've, you know, so that part of it I can overlook. Now, he is quick to respond, and I will say that, you know, he has made a few stumbles and a few mistakes, but most of the time when he says something outrageous, it turns out to be right. It wasn't so outrageous after all. And a lot of the positions that he's taken are actually a throwback. They're sort of traditional positions that somehow we've, over the years of America's decline, we've been managed to sort of move away from them. You know, for example, the idea that we should send all, you know, build a wall and actually protect the borders and send the illegal aliens back. That seems like that's so radical. Well, it's not so radical. If you don't have borders, you don't have a country. It's pretty simple. So that the border issue is one of the big things that people find very appealing. Another thing I'll say about Trump, he really connects with people. Even I was watching, he gave an impromptu press conference, and it was on his plane. He was seated on his plane, and the reporters were actually in the plane. And they were asked, you know, different ones were asking him questions. You know how they kind of all talk at the same time, and then one of them will end up being the one that gets to ask the question. And so, and they weren't asking easy questions. They were asking tough questions. But he has a very effective way of telling the story that he wants to tell. And, you know, so the reporters are notorious for trying to make a statement with their questions, but Trump is very effective at communicating and connecting with his audience, you know, with somebody like me and other people that he's able to connect with. He's very effective at telling the story that he wants to tell, and oftentimes he does, you know, they've asked for specifics, and that's been one of the criticisms, that he hasn't been specific enough. And he's been pretty specific on a lot of things. I don't watch the news media anymore at all, whether it's Fox or whoever. I look at headlines. I look at a fair amount of headlines. And if the headline looks interesting enough, I'll go ahead and read the article. And somehow I, you know, doing that, I end up being pretty well informed without having to go through all that garbage of what's on all those news, so-called news networks. You know, so does, is Trump, is he against women? I think that's a bunch of crap. I think that they've tried to manufacture that. And I think that overall, if he, you know, if he is elected president, I think you're going to, as long as people are civil to him, I think you're going to see a president, you know, somebody that can be very presidential. So, now Cruz, if Cruz ends up being the nominee, which I don't think that's going to happen, but let's say that it did, I would probably hold my nose and vote for him. Now, why do I say that? At one time, I sort of thought more of Ted Cruz, but as this election has dragged on, there have been several things that Cruz has, the Cruz camp has done that just really I don't like. Of course, the thing with Ben Carson in Iowa was the really the first one that that really gave me a lot of heartburn was the thing with Ben Carson, where they said, well, you know, the Cruz people said, well, Ben Carson's pulling out of the race. They told the people at the Iowa caucus, don't waste your vote on Ben Carson because he's pulling out of the race. Vote for us. Vote for Ted Cruz. And, of course, that turned out to be a lie. And then at first they said we didn't do it. And then when there was video evidence and they couldn't deny it, then they said, yeah, we did. We're sorry. Well, they were sorry they got caught. They weren't sorry that what they did, you know, and then they, ha, 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 it's brass knuckles politics, you know, smirk, smirk. Well, it's dishonest. He was, Ted Cruz was asked directly by a British reporter a couple of days ago if, you know, if he could just clear the air and just categorically state that he's never stepped out on his wife. Well, Ted Cruz never answered the question. Carly Fiorina jumped in and saved him. And Ted Cruz, from what I could see, had a kind of a guilty look on his face. So that if he can't categorically deny that he's never stepped out on his wife, then I have a problem with that. You know, I don't have any sympathy for, you know, for people that can't tell the truth. And of course, if he doesn't want to come out and say that, because it's I can understand that, but at the same time, you know, he's not telling the truth, and that's an important point. So there's been several cases, and there's been several other ones where the Cruz camp and he has to be knowing about it. I mean, he's the candidate. He can feign ignorance all day long. There's been several things that I just don't like about him. He will kind of say things. I think that he's showing signs, the typical Republican signs, where he'll say things in order to get elected, and then once he's elected, then he does something. He's going to do something different. I do believe that Donald Trump's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, and I think that most Trump supporters do not believe that he's perfect. But on the other hand, He does connect in a very real way with his supporters, and I believe that he believes that he is going to really do things like begin to, you know, tighten up the border and start to change some of these ridiculous trade deals. Those are that, especially the border thing, is very important. So, we'll see what happens. The Republican Party, by the way, they're trying to use Ted Cruz at this point to try to knock down. They want to knock down Donald Trump, of course, but I don't think they'll ever rally. You know, if you're thinking or anyone is thinking that the Republican Party is going to, after they get rid of Trump, if they're able to do it, they're going to suddenly rally around Ted Cruz, that's not going to happen because they don't like him either. Then they're going to, I think what they plan on doing is getting rid of Trump and then get rid of Cruz and then substitute somebody like Paul Ryan or Mitt Romney, or maybe they'll revive, maybe they can revive McCain and stick him in, you know, run him again. Or maybe they could really get desperate and run Bob Dole again. And, you know, maybe he can, because, you know, I remember after Dole, the lame Dole, the Bob Dole for president campaign fizzled, after he lost, then you had those horrible Bob Dole ads, you know, with him oogling young women hawking Viagra tablets. Remember that? And so maybe they can pull him out of mothballs and bring him back. Wouldn't put it past them. So, Trump, something radical, I think a lot of people realize this, there is no political solution to our problems are moral. Something radical is going to have to happen. There's going to have to be a shock to the system at this point. And Trump is a shock. As Trump really is a shock to the system. If nothing else, Trump is a shock to the system, and he has been already without even becoming president. He's been a pretty good shock to the system. That's why all these people seem to be coming out of the woodwork, because he has been a shock to the system, because they thought that was that they'd already suppressed all of the, you know, everything that Trump represents. And it's not, and you got to understand, it's not just that they think that it's about Trump, Trump this, Trump that, and he's just somehow Trump appeals to people or whatever. What you have to understand is the Trump, the people, the supporters, the people supporting Trump, that's what they're really against. That's what they would like to sweep under the rug and to destroy the supporters, because Trump is just the representative. Trump wouldn't be anything without the supporters, and that's what has been giving a lot of people just terrible indigestion, is the fact that there's all these Trump supporters out there. You know, otherwise he wouldn't continue to exist as a candidate. He wouldn't continue to get the kind of numbers that he's getting. At this point, they could come out with a video of Trump cutting somebody's head off. If he's the nominee, I'm still voting for. I don't care. I'm going to vote for Trump. If he's the nominee, I'm voting for him. So, and a lot of people feel that way. Rightly or wrongly, there's a lot of Trump supporters that feel that way. And the more they try to tear him down, the more resolute people become. And in fact, the more support that he's able to garner. So, you know, let them pull their shenanigans. But I do think that Donald Trump would make a decent president. I think that he's not perfect. By any stretch of the imagination, he's not perfect. But at the same time, he's not all that radical, because a lot of the positions that he's taken are very traditional. And they've been taken by politicians that were in office not that long ago. That somehow we've managed to progress, quote unquote, away from. We need a shock to the system, and Trump does represent a big shock to the system, and. So, you know, the thing, again, you know, with him, he's somehow against women or whatever. No, he's not. I don't believe that for a minute. You know, so, and again, it's up to you as a parent, regardless of what's in the media or what you see on TV, what your kids see on TV or what they hear at school, it's up to you as a parent to be a modifying influence, as I've talked about many times, because you can't take your kids into a cave and kind of protect them completely from the world. You can't do that. That you've got to teach your kids to live in the world And so therefore, you have to be a modifying influence, sort of like a, you know, you're there with your kids and you act as a modifying influence to kind of help them understand what's going on and how the world works, and that it's not, you can't believe everything that you see in the media, and you can't allow what goes on with other people to negatively impact you. You know, you can't, I'm not saying that quite right or saying what I mean just precisely, but the way I look at the world, of course there are a lot of horrible people and they do want to do what they do. Do I allow that to kind of seep into my psyche and sort of ruin my existence? No. Do I allow that to ruin my awareness? Absolutely not. Do I allow all of the things that are trying to separate me from my Creator, do I allow that to happen? No. And so therefore, you as a parent, it's up to you. One of your responsibilities, and of course I'm not a parent, let's just throw the disqualifier out there. Not a parent, never have been a parent, never will be a parent. But in my opinion, you as a parent, it's up to you with your daughters to kind of step in there and not just protect them, but to make sure that they're able to properly view the world. And more importantly, not be upset by the world, because that's how you lose. Being upset is how you lose your connection to your Creator. Being upset, resenting, if someone can trick you into resenting, resent your parents. Resent the people at school, resent people, places, and things. Someone can trick you into that, then you're instantly separated from who you could have been otherwise. And then you're presented with two wrong choices. You either go along with whatever it is, or you try to rebel and do the opposite. And of course, neither one of those is right, because you're separated. You're no longer who you could have been, who you should have been, before you got upset. So one of your jobs as a parent is to sort of be grounded. If you can be grounded yourself, then you become that modifying influence. The more grounded you are as a parent, the more of a positive influence you are on your kids without you even being aware of it. You don't even have to be aware that you're doing it. You just have to, if you are more grounded, then that is an influence in and of itself without you even having to necessarily say anything, because it sort of permeates your identity, it permeates what you do, everything that you do, etc. So, but anyway, this election's within the next few months. It's going to be, if nothing else, it's been very entertaining. It's interesting. So we'll have to see what happens. But there is no political solution, and Trump says that himself. He says. Politicians will never get you to the promised land. It's not going to happen. It's up to us as individuals. If we want to improve our lives, if we want to make our lives better, you can kind of define whatever that means. It's up to me to, if I want to, if I want a better life, if I want to, you know, kind of, you know, be able to find peace and happiness or whatever, joy, if I want to find those things, it's up to me to do it. It's not up to who I vote for. It's not up to my fellow citizens to make that happen. It's up to me. I have to do something. It's up. It's kind of up to me to do it, or to find the way to it. And it's not going to happen politically. But Trump is going to be a shock. Trump is a shock. And if he's actually becomes president, big shock. Going to be a lot of fun to watch. So anyhow, I think I'm going to bring this to a close. Hope everyone is having a great week so far, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.